Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Dubai, the new agriculture hub. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is April the 2nd, and we continue a fascinating article, Gardens in the Desert, about vertical farming in the UAE, in the United Arab Emirates. And today I have Simon back on the program, and I think it's great that Simon's on the program because, Simon, you actually come from an agricultural area in Canada, right?
I do, but I am not a farm kid. Yes. I didn't grow up on a farm.
You didn't grow up on a farm, but yeah. You know more about farms than most people.
I suppose it depends on if you're in an agricultural area or not, you know?
Well, in our lovely city of Taipei, you are definitely one of the few handful of people I know that have some experience in an agricultural area. Well, Simon, we had an interesting discussion yesterday about ag tech, about vertical farming. It's all about these new innovations taking place in agriculture. Is there a concept or term from yesterday that you think we can expand on?
Yeah, I suppose the thing that I found interesting was sort of the justification for why they were doing all this in the middle of the desert. And so there was a lot of talk about like increasing the efficiency of water use and cutting transportation costs for importing vegetables. But, you know, in my mind, all of those things just raise a bigger question. Like, why would you have a city of millions of people in the middle of the desert? Why not build it in a more hospitable area? And so the answer is really like, there is money and there is a will. You know, the political sort of, you know, situation means that people want to build it and they're able to pay for it. But that is not to say that these innovations do not have value for other places.
Right. So expand.
If you look at a list of the world's great food producers, you know, it's like USA, Australia, Canada, and then not very far down the list, you get the Netherlands, which is this tiny little country, but produces huge amounts of food. And that's largely because of intensity of farming and pro-farming policies and government support and the use of technology and all of this different sort of stuff. But that's a good example of being able to produce a lot of food in a relatively small space by being efficient about the way you do it. And I think there's other places in the world that have tried similar things, probably with less success most of the time. But anytime you can sort of successfully figure out how to grow food in a very harsh climate, there's going to be technologies and techniques that you don't have to take all of them, but you can take the ones that sort of benefit you in your part of the world.
Right.
So, for example, we have in the Botanical Garden here in Taipei City, there are greenhouses. Now, why, you might ask, are there greenhouses there? Well, it's because they can grow plants that wouldn't normally fit with the climate very well. So this means that you can make those greenhouses much more water usage efficient if it, you know, becomes necessary to do. And so there's all kinds of applications that you can use in all kinds of different places once you've demonstrated the ability to do it and figured out how to do it. And I think that's probably the real benefit of watching this sort of thing closely.
Yes, that's actually a really good point.
Yeah. Dubai is not going to feed the starving world, right?
No, but Dubai wants to feed the UAE.
Yeah, it's not even going to feed the UAE.
Yes.
Because they're not growing, you know, they eat a lot of bread, right?
Right.
Like flatbread, that grain's not going to come from a greenhouse in the desert, but
that's
they might
true.
Grow melons.
But they're hoping, you know? Since only 1% of their land is suitable for agriculture, they're hoping to be able to be more self-sufficient. And I think that is like a key point in a lot of this is the ability to be self-sufficient.
Well, they can certainly grow a lot more than they currently do.
Yes.
And that's a valuable lesson for all kinds of smaller political entities like Singapore, you know, at one point was growing most of its own food. Now they aren't. But they would maybe like to, or it might be wise if they could. And so being able to grow more of your own food, not reliant on imports to the same extent, that might not be a bad thing.
Yes, there are definitely advantages. There's definitely pros to being able to be more self-sufficient. Maybe not 100%, because in this interconnected world, it's impossible to be completely self-sufficient. But to be more self-sufficient, to grow more of your own food, this would be also under the category of food security. Mm-hmm. To secure food security, especially when there is a lot of potential disruptions to the global supply chain, to logistics, extreme weather, wars. There's a lot of possibilities that cause disruption. Mm-hmm. So in that kind, and this kind of climate we live in right now, it makes sense. But one thing I want to emphasize before we go on is that vertical farming is extremely energy intensive. It takes up a lot of energy. I guess that's not a huge worry in a place like the UAE because they have lots of oil. So potentially, perhaps they have enough oil. They don't have to worry about not having enough energy. But that is a problem in many places because vertical farming takes up a lot of energy. You have to keep your indoor space always cool, air-conditioned, and then you always have to keep your LED.
At least climate-controlled.
Climate-controlled.
Right?
Yeah. And you always have to have light. You don't have sunlight. This is LED lighting. So it's very, very energy-intensive. On that note, let's get into our first reading for today, where we talk about some of the reasons behind the UAE's push to develop agricultural innovations.
The UAE is making huge strides to advance agritech in the country with an ambitious aim to improve hydroponic farming and source 70% of produce from local farms by 2025. This push toward local food production gained momentum during the COVID-19 pandemic, which severely disrupted global food imports. When COVID stopped travel, places that relied on the bellies of airplanes to move food around suddenly woke up to the fragility of their food supply chains, says Kurtz. Agritech companies like Pure Harvest Farms benefit from a unique geographical advantage in the UAE. Around 80% of the world's population lives within an 8-hour flight of Dubai. This ideal location places them at the heart of a vast consumer base. You know that expression, skate to where the puck is heading? We are building a company where the world's population is growing, says Kurtz.
The UAE is making huge strides to advance agritech. Agritech, another word is ag tech, agriculture tech in the country. Simon, when we make huge strides, it means we're making huge improvements, right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it refers to taking a step. So, you know, when you're making progress towards something, most of our listeners will know we often describe it as taking steps towards doing something. The idea being you're walking towards a goal and you have to do one step at a time, for example. That's a related saying. A stride is the length of your step from one
right.
foot to the other. So if you have a long stride, you take big steps, basically. And when you're taking huge strides, it basically means you are taking big steps. So you're moving rapidly in large increments. Yeah.
So they're moving rapidly. And some of the things that they're improving on are things like hydroponic farming. What is hydroponic? It has the word hydro, has something to do with water.
Yeah, you basically don't grow things in dirt. You grow it in water that is fertilized directly. So basically water tanks with plants growing in them.
Have you ever seen places like this, hydroponic farming?
I have, but never as like a farming operation.
Hmm.
It's usually the sort of thing you see in like a science lab or
a vertical
farm. That's where you see them. Well, even vertical farms, like I think often they would grow them in soil, fertilized soil, often, yeah.
It depends.
Hydroponics, I mean, the main place you see hydroponics in use in sort of the Western cultural imagination is people who are basically growing illegal drugs. So, you know, I mean, that's where we hear about it all the time.
All right.
That's why most of us don't use it. We don't want to attract that sort of attention.
Okay.
The hydroponic technology, I mean, here.
Well, hydroponics can also be used to grow a lot of good produce, including in vertical farms. And UAE is very ambitious. They want to source 70% of produce from local farms by 2025. That's a lot. Fresh fruits and vegetables.
It 70%
is, 70% goal. 2025 is already passed.
Yeah.
I wonder if they hit that target.
Well, you have to be a little careful with that language, because you are right there. You used that term produce again, which means fruits and vegetables here, but it doesn't necessarily mean crops or food.
Yes, so they're not, Simon, that's a good distinction.
They're not growing 70% of their food. They're growing 70% of the vegetables they're eating or the fruit they're eating. At least that was the goal. We don't know from the text here if they reached that goal this year.
We don't know if they reached that goal. We'll have to look up the UAE's numbers. But why this push? Why this push now toward self-sufficiency in food?
Well, it tells us here that it gained momentum, which means this idea was around beforehand, but it started moving more quickly. Momentum is basically the speed something is happening at. So if you gain momentum, it means you start doing it more quickly. And the reason for this is the pandemic, which severely disrupted global food imports.
Yes, because there was a lot of problems in logistics and transportations worldwide during this time. So this really fueled the move towards self-sufficiency in many, many different areas, including here. Of course, food is important. We need our food supplies. And then we have a really incredible sentence here. I love the writing. It says, when COVID stopped travel, places that relied on the bellies of airplanes to move food around suddenly woke up to the fragility of their food supply chains, says Kurtz. This is a gorgeous sentence. Well, first we have, okay, COVID stopped travel. We know that. In the past, we relied on airplanes to move us food. But instead of just saying relying on airplanes, we talk about places that relied on the bellies of airplanes, because the belly is just basically the airplane in your airplane.
The cargo hold.
Yes, where you hold the cargo, just like the stomach of the airplane. So that's where you hold the cargo. This is where you hold the food. And food was being transported in airplanes. And then suddenly, when the airplanes couldn't fly so easily and there just wasn't enough transportation to go around the world during that time, we woke up to the fragility of their food supply chains. So fragility, something that's very fragile. It's something that is very easily broken, something easily damaged. So this whole food supply chain was basically, I can't say it's broken, but it was damaged during COVID.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. And then so at that time, places like the UAE recognized that they need to become more self-sufficient in food. They can't rely on just all food imports. And this is where companies like Pure Harvest come in. And there's another advantage to Dubai. What is that in our next paragraph?
They say that they benefit from a unique geographical advantage, and that advantage is 80% of the world's population lives within an 8-hour flight of Dubai. So it's a central location. That's the idea. It's easy to get things from Dubai to other places.
Yes. So in the event that Pure Harvest is able to really up its yield, and they can set up even more vertical farms than they are doing now, they have the ability to not only supply the UAE, they will be able to supply other countries with the produce that is growing. So this is another reason why a company like Pure Harvest stationed themselves in Dubai. And here we have a great phrase. And Simon, this is good. It's almost a Canadian phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
Skate to where the puck is heading. Now, this is our national sport. Tell us, what is a puck and what does it mean, skate to where the puck is heading?
Yeah, this is the rare ice hockey idiom in English.
Yes.
Most of them are baseball related.
But yes.
This one, a puck is the little black circular disc that people hit with their sticks in ice hockey. And the idea is, if you want to get the puck, you can't skate to where the puck is now. You have to skate to where it's moving to, because then you'll get there more quickly. And so basically what this means is you want to look at trends, where trends are leading, and then you want to aim for the outcome of the trend rather than trying to do the things that are popular or successful right now. Think about the future.
Yes. Yeah. And so a company like Pure Harvest is thinking about the future, and that is why they have stationed themselves in Dubai, because of Dubai's need for food security, for self-sufficiency, and because of 80% of the world's population living within an 8-hour flight of Dubai. They think that there's many potential markets that their produce can go to in the near future. Well, let's get into our next paragraph where we talk about some of the challenges of basing your ag tech company in Dubai, but also some of the advantages of basing yourself in this country. Let's go to our next paragraph.
The challenge and the reward. Beyond its strategic location, one key reason Kurtz chose Abu Dhabi as the base for Pure Harvest Smart Farms was his conviction that if the company could succeed in producing food in the harshest environments in the world, where temperatures can soar to 125 degrees Fahrenheit, it would prove the credibility and capability of his company to produce food anywhere in the world. Another factor making UAE an attractive hub for Pure Harvest was the country's funding for startups trying to solve the region's pressing issues. Initial support came from the Mohammed bin Rashid Innovation Fund, which provided a $1.5 million loan. The Abu Dhabi Investment Office has played a pivotal role by offering significant financial support through grants. The company has been getting creative about how to expand its offerings. It has launched a line of all-natural strawberry preserves and tomato sauces made from surplus seasonal produce, an effort to turn potential food waste into premium products. Kurtz says the company's growing ambition and goal of becoming a household brand in the next 50 years goes hand in hand with responding to the world's growing need to get creative about farming.
Simon, we talked about the strategic location of being in the UAE, being within an 8-hour flight to many neighboring countries where there's 80% of the world's population lives. But before we go on, I have to make a correction. Mm-hmm. This company is actually not headquartered in Dubai. It's actually headquartered in Abu Dhabi. And Abu Dhabi is actually a sister city to Dubai. It's not the city of Dubai. It's another city, a very, very rich emirate as well. And Abu Dhabi is actually the base for Pure Harvest. But why did this founder, why did he choose Abu Dhabi and the UAE as his base?
Well, we've talked about many of the ideas that are presented in this reading before. I mean, one of them, obviously, they just mentioned location. The second one, though, is the idea that because it's such a harsh environment, if you can do it successfully here, you can basically do it anywhere. You can be relied upon to do it anywhere. That's kind of the idea here. We see that he says, if the company could succeed in producing food in the harshest environments in the world, it would prove the credibility and capability of his company to produce food anywhere in the world. So it's kind of an advertisement in some ways. But, you know, why not the Arctic, right? Why did it have to be Abu Dhabi? Well, that's what they get into in the next paragraph.
Yes, we will talk about why they chose the UAE. They didn't choose the Arctic. There's other incentives to bring them to the UAE. But I want to talk about three C's in this paragraph.
Sure.
First, we have conviction. So here it talks about Kurtz's conviction that he needs to base his company in some place with a harsh climate. And conviction just means a very strong opinion or belief. Mm-hmm. And then the other two C's is, what would he prove by having his company in a place of such a harsh environment? We have the second C, credibility. And credibility is the fact that someone can be believed and trusted. Someone is credible. Like, Simon, I believe you are credible. You can be trusted.
Thank you.
I hope all our listeners think that we are credible. So that's credibility. And the third C is capability. So capability is the ability to do something. So Kurtz hopes that people will find his company credible, they'll believe in it, and also capable. And that's why he chose such a place with such a harsh environment where temperatures go up to 125 degrees Fahrenheit. That works out to about 51 degrees Celsius. That is hot. Well, Simon,
I think what all of that effectively means is that if you, listener, in your home country want to bring this company to your country, you might be able to. They might be willing to open up an operation in a different country.
Yes, because they can even do it in a harsh place like Abu Dhabi and Dubai, where it goes up to 51 degrees Celsius. But it's not just the harsh environment that makes the UAE attractive. Simon, we get into our next paragraph. What are some other attractions to attract a company like Pure Harvest to the Middle East?
The easy answer is money, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. It's actually sort of a policy environment or a system that's been set up to help new companies, innovative companies, developing companies. So there's going to be a lot of different parts of that. One, obviously, is you need staff. And so they either need to have local universities that are training graduates, or if they don't have that, you need to be able to access work visas for people you bring in, things like that. You need government people you can contact about your problems. They have mentioned here a number of different organizations, investment offices, things like that. They also have funds that are available, so you can apply for a grant. A grant is different from a loan. A grant basically means they give you the money without requiring you to pay it back. And so money, but also sort of a government team or an environment that is looking to solve problems for you and supply you with the things you need to succeed.
Yeah, so we need money and governance. And on the money side, we saw, Simon, you talked both about loans and grants, right? Mm-hmm. So when the government gives you a loan, you have to pay it back at a later date. And Pure Harvest actually got both. They had a loan here. We talked about initial support came from the Mohammed bin Rashid Innovation Fund, which provided a $1.5 million loan. And beside the loan, they also got a grant. And here we talked about the Abu Dhabi Investment Office. They also supported the company through grants. So the financial incentive is very strong because with a company like Pure Harvest, it takes a lot of money to get it off the ground in the beginning. And then let's talk about what is Pure Harvest selling? Besides the usual leafy greens, microgreens, and herbs that we usually see companies in vertical farming do, what is it trying to do? They're trying to expand its product base.
Yeah, whenever you're producing anything, I would say, there's sort of a chain of different products and services that go into producing that. So, for example, if you want to grow an agricultural product, you're going to need to get seeds from somewhere. That's probably one company that supplies those. You're going to need to get fertilizers and chemical inputs. That's probably another company that supplies those. You're going to need some equipment. That comes from another company. Then you're going to need to be able to maybe refrigerate it and store it and ship it. And all of those things come from different companies. So traditionally, when companies want to expand and grow, they'll either move up and downstream, which means they buy the companies that are supplying them and the companies they are supplying, or they move from side to side, basically doing the same thing they're doing, but with different products. Here we see up and downstream. So, you know, I think the example they use here is strawberries, right? They say all natural strawberries. Mm-hmm. And so they're producing strawberries. When they have the strawberries in season, they're probably producing a lot of strawberries. So they ship as many of them as they can to supermarkets and purchasers of fresh strawberries. But if you are a strawberry lover, you know strawberry season does not last for very long. And so maybe you produce more berries than can be consumed during that period of time. So what do you do with the extras? Do you just throw them out? No, you find a product you can make out of them. So here they make preserves and tomato sauces. But they don't make the tomato sauces out of the strawberries, obviously. That's out of the tomatoes. What are preserves? It's basically something you do to process the food so that it doesn't go bad. So you can add salt, you can dry it, you can add sugar, you can pickle it, all of these kinds of things. In this case, when they say preserves, they basically mean jam, but they might not be adding too much sugar. So jam without so much sugar.
Yes.
That's what the preserves are.
Yes. So Pure Harvest is expanding its product lines. It's expanding its product lines because the cost of growing is so high. They need to try to make more money from any potential food waste. Mm-hmm. So instead of throwing out these vegetables or fruits that nobody buys, they are making products out of them. So whether it's strawberry preserves, tomato sauces, they are trying to turn every single produce they grow into something they can sell and try to sell it at a higher price into, so they're trying to sell more premium products. And Kurtz ends with saying the company's growing ambition and goal is to become a household brand in the next 50 years.
Yeah.
And that's a big, lofty ambition. But he's in the right place. The UAE is a place for a lot of people's dreams to come true. I mean, if you can make a city in the desert and turn away from your reliance on fossil fuels to become a financial and tourist and finance hub, perhaps you can also become an ag tech hub as well. And this goes hand in hand. If something goes hand in hand, it just means it's closely connected to the world's need for more food. Yes.
That's it.
That's it. I think we've arrived
at
the end of our program. And all the best to Pure Harvest and companies like Pure Harvest. And at that note, Simon, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Nothing. Have a great day. We hope you join us again soon for another Advanced Studio Classroom.
We hope you join us again tomorrow. Thank you, friends. It's been wonderful to talk about all these innovations around the world. And we hope that you join us again very soon on another edition of Advanced. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Simon.
Saying goodbye.
Bye.